Hey, grandkids, welcome to Opa 17. We are almost in the 20s, Ken. How are you feeling about that?
That's pretty good. We're only 17, though, at this point.
Yep, we're still in our teens. We can still drink beer underneath the bleachers.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever get too old for that, though?
I haven't done it in a while.
You do, don't you?
Oh, no, damn. No. Not under the bleachers, at least.
Yeah.
I do drink. Well, I didn't drink under the bleachers ever, actually.
No.
I was not really a drinker in high school.
Me neither.
So, yeah, never did that.
Yeah, never drank under the bleachers, but that is sort of a cultural touchstone, even, for some reason. So, yeah, we weren't talking about bleachers, though, were we?
No, we were not talking about bleachers.
We should do a show about bleachers at some point.
Sure.
Yeah.
It could be interesting.
Oh, no, it will be when we do it. Yeah.
You know.
We're going to devote a solid hour. We're going to get in there. We're going to find out what's going on with these bleachers.
Yeah, people who bleach their asshole, they're those kind of bleachers.
What other kind were you talking about?
Well, you know, they bleach their hair.
That's true.
Yeah. There are a couple of different things that we can go with.
We don't want to
limit this angle, Ken. I mean, I don't want to give the whole idea out on air.
Exactly.
It's too good to just let it slide for free.
We'd be poaching our own ideas. We need to give these room to breathe on their own. You know.
Exactly.
All right, good.
Let us explore the space.
But, you know, I guess we could think of something else to talk about then. If, well, there was something I saw in the news recently.
Okay, well, I don't know why, but there have been a couple of Viking discoveries here recently.
I have a theory.
You do?
Yes. Now, you know, I'm not one to believe in conspiracy theories normally, but, you know, let's say that there's a PR firm that's working for the Vikings, because it seems like there's a lot of this Viking information is favorable to the Vikings that we're seeing here. Like, we find out that they're actually, like, might have been more into, like, settling an area versus, like, trying to take it over through violence. Well, maybe they would do that too. But I guess, like, not just, like, stealing and raiding and then taking it back to their, you know, their homes back, wherever the Netherlands? Is that what they're from?
The Netherlands?
No, they're from...
Vikings? Norway, Sweden, Finland, somewhere in that area. Scandinavia.
Scandinavia, yeah.
Maybe Denmark. There, some of the Viking culture was in Denmark, which is...
I think Denmark is what I was thinking of.
Which is where this happens to be, is Denmark. It's actually... I found that really interesting about this article, just because it didn't sound right in my head. I know that there's a New Zealand.
Yeah.
But this fort was found on Zealand, and I'm just like, that just sounds so awkward to say...
Right.
Like, even though I understand, like, New York, I mean, they tacked on the city, but it was, you know, New York.
Right.
You know, it was...
There was an old York.
Yeah, there was an old York that's still in England, and this is the New York. And, well, and before that, it was New Amsterdam, if memory serves.
Yes, that's correct. The Dutch did own that area first.
Yep.
Now, those are from the Netherlands, right?
Yes.
Those guys.
Okay. Those guys are from the Netherlands.
They're not the Vikings. They're
no.
Different people.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. The Vikings did not go south of Denmark, as far as I know. Because that would have been Germanic tribe pretty much south of them.
Yeah.
Which was a little bit different.
Yeah, so last week we found out about, you know...
Yeah, you just laid that out, what we talked about last week. That's why I was kind of cracking up.
So, but this article was also, you know, pointing out something favorable, I guess, about Viking culture, in that their forts were surprisingly
as well, the article, yeah, the article called it badass, which I do enjoy about this Mike news here. And yeah, it was found on the island of Zealand, and it's a circular shape, and it does indeed look pretty cool. So I mean, they were just saying how they were they weren't just berserkers, I guess. You know, they're kind of continuing this theme, really.
Right.
The Viking Guild is. The Viking Illuminati is paying for.
That's right. The Vikings, they never went away. The greatest trick the Vikings ever pulled was making us think that they didn't exist. Because their PR firms are alive and well. No, but this is a pretty stunning looking... It almost reminds me of like a... I don't know. An Indian... Like, I guess I'm thinking of like mounds, but there probably would have been a fort on top of this.
Well, and I think they're digging out the ring around it, so there's no telling exactly how deep it is. Like, I don't think they ever described how far down they've dug.
Right.
Because there are some other clear pictures of stairs going down and of that nature. Like, it seems like there's a lot more to be found at this this location, too.
Right, because I guess they had to dig down to look at the walls because of, you know, over time, sediment and things build up, you know.
Yeah, they used some some pretty badass... whatever, I'm going to continue with it.
It is badass, yeah.
Equipment to search down to make sure that... When they took the backhoe down, they weren't grabbing into anything important.
Yes. So, yeah, and they were able to kind of, like, quickly map out the site, like, before they even started digging, which I thought was pretty cool. So, like, they knew, like, where to dig and then not to, like, disturb things and to be able to kind of see where things, you know, what position things were laying in and kind of, like... get a more of a feel for how this structure, you know, was made and used, really.
So. Oh, right, because they even mentioned that they found out that the gates were burnt down at some point. So they had dug down, obviously, far enough to take a look at that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Right. So it is pretty fascinating, anything like that. I mean, I just think it's cool, like, how they built. Oh, and maybe I'll have to bring that one next week. I saw a Stonehenge article, too, that they're using that kind of technology to look underneath it, I think.
Interesting.
And I think they found more stuff underneath it, but that will be for another week.
Okay, we're really setting up our topics this week.
Well, it's kind of funny because I think I'm always fascinated by this stuff because Indiana Jones got me into the archaeology thing.
Right.
And it was a thought of mine to go into archaeology as a, you know, profession.
And so you did. Oh, well,
yeah, I did not go with that.
You became, you know, a little bit confused and you went into architecture.
Yeah, little bit confused.
You thought it was close to archaeology because it
starts with the same similar letters.
Yes.
It's not quite an anagram, but it's close.
Yeah, it's something at least. No, but this, looking at this picture, it also reminded me of the Serpent Mound in Ohio. Have you ever heard about that at all?
No.
Well, it's south of here, and it's, I guess, like the biggest earthworks, you know, left over from American Indians that they have, like, in this part of the country.
Oh, okay.
And it's like a big, it's shaped like a, it's a, you know, there's various mounds, I guess, around this area.
Okay.
But this one was like from a very long time ago, like 1,000 years ago. And so, like, they're not even really sure much, they don't really know much about this culture at all, except that it took place over a big trade area, you know, like that was basically the eastern half of the United States.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of interesting to look at, but then, you know, nothing really, like the Indians who, well, the the Native Americans, I guess, rather, who lived here when the colonists came, may not even have been related to these Indians. Like, it was so long ago, like, it's hard to say.
Oh, okay.
But
so these are not too long after they came over the Bering Strait kind of civilization.
I guess, like, very early. Like, I did not do my research on this one. This wasn't a prepared topic, but
okay.
You know, people can let me know.
It seems, in your opinion, it seems like it's a little bit older culture then.
Yeah, like, it's a long time ago.
Gotcha.
We're going to say that for now. Going to put a pin on that one. Maybe we can come back around
again. Yeah, and I didn't do the math, but they were talking about it being 145 meters from side to side.
Now, does it say when this would have been built?
I'm trying to remember if they had anything in here. Oh, well, they had mentioned, the 10th century, because it was the reign of King Harold Bluetooth.
Oh.
Which, yeah. I did like.
And his
and it was, this type of fort evidently was unique to the Danish Vikings. So that's the other thing that makes it kind of cool looking. They're the only ones that did the circular fortresses.
Cool.
Yeah, he has a pretty badass name. I mean, I'm going to guess that his dentist was not very good if his last name was Bluetooth.
Bluetooth does not give you really a great picture if you think it's supposed to be. I guess, yeah, you would think that would be his tooth was all messed up, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
That's not good.
Uh-uh.
Oh, well, breaking news here.
breaking news. Found on the internet.
They believe that the Serpent Mound was built by members of the Fort Ancient culture in around 1070 CE, plus or minus 70 years. So that would be like the year, about around the same time, I guess, as these.
About the time of this fort. Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
Well, I guess it was 100-some-odd years later. Because don't you always go back one? Yeah. When it's 10th century, isn't it the 900s? Oh, okay, yeah, it does look somewhat similar to it. It's this one's a little more peaked. That one was a little more rounded at the top.
Right, and I think they aren't really sure what it was used for. So it's
it could this one was specifically a fort. That one may have had other uses. It's,
down southern Ohio.
Peebles.
Yes.
Mario Van Peebles has his own city in Ohio. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, I mean, they were, well, really, they were fans of both Mario and his father, Melvin Van Peebles. So they decided to just to kind of name the town after the family, which, good for them.
Right, and I might have to make a visit out of that. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I meant to check it out, but it was, like, closed or something when I went. It was, like, on a Sunday or something. It's some kind of national park site. National Monument? National Monument, that's it.
Oh.
So,
Well, there are national monuments, and there are other natural monuments.
Yeah, that's true.
And I would consider a volcano a monument of the natural variety.
I think, you know what? I think you are correct, you know. They are monuments of nature.
Right. And I found this other article about Kawah-Ijen Crater Lake. And it's down in Indonesia. And it happens to emit a large amount of sulfur. So it looks like it's spewing blue lava.
Right. It's just all sulfur, though, right?
But it's just all sulfur. So it just kind of burns itself up, and it doesn't come flowing down like a traditional lava would.
Yeah, it just...
It just kind of burns and kind of looks like it, and then kind of fades out. And it is really badass to look at.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
continue the badass theme. It's going through this one.
This is the badass edition of OPA. because I agree. It is like, you know, it reminds me of like, do you remember when the blue LEDs became a thing? And like,
oh,
you would first start to see that.
Right.
And you'd be like, hey, that's that's pretty badass, you know?
I know exactly what you mean. And this doesn't come in just blue. It also comes in red and yellow, which is pretty cool. And it kind of has a little bit of white in it. It's so hot, it's white hot.
Literally, this is white hot.
Oh, because that was... what the was the... Okay. Oh, yeah. It comes out at temperatures of 1,112 degrees Fahrenheit.
600 degrees Celsius. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this stuff is scorching hot, to say the least.
Yeah. I would... They said the guy that was taking these pictures had to wear a gas mask to be around it because it was... So, you know, the gas is, like, corrosive. You know, there's so much, like, sulfur in that area. So, it's pretty to look at, I guess, but I wouldn't want to, like, camp out there.
Yeah, and it just... and there were people that they were just... Because what were... Were they harvesting the sulfur?
Yeah, I guess miners.
Yes, some miners go up there and they just have usually a like a wet piece of clothing over their mouth, and yeah. They go and farm like I can't believe they carry loads of 176 to 220 pounds. That's a lot of weight to be carrying. They're pushing some serious weight.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but they said that they were able to sell it for basically 25 cents a pound, which I believe worked out to be about $50 per load.
So, you said load.
I did. But, so yeah, that, I guess, I don't know if that's a lot of money there or not, but.
Yeah, it seems a little low, in my opinion, to be putting myself through that. But I guess if you don't have any other means of income, it is something.
It is something. That is true.
So it's better than being lazy.
Well, yeah, except you're also putting your body at risk, I guess, by...
working
around this stuff.
Yeah, you are asking for a short lifespan
and
by doing that.
The thing that I thought was eerie is that they said that sometimes they would work at night to avoid the hot heat of the sun and just use like the light of the burning sulfur to see by.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy to... I mean, but that's how bright it is, though. I mean, it's kind of another interesting facet of the whole thing to me. So, it's kind of a cool, well, it's not kind of, it's a really, it's a badass cool thing to
it is, yeah,
to have that somewhere in nature. It is obviously nothing to be toyed with.
No, yeah, that would. Can you imagine having something like that in your backyard, though? That would really freak me out.
Yeah, I have said on a couple of occasions, I'm completely fine with being landlocked, nowhere near a fault line. You know, not really in a tornado-prone area, though they do happen from time to time.
True.
But it's not overly prone, so it's just like, well...
Not usually big blizzards or things.
Yeah, no big snowfall.
If anything, it's been a couple windstorms, I guess.
Yeah, I was stuck in one of those. So that was a real party.
It's a bummer. yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to have...
Yeah, I wouldn't want that in my backyard. So I guess that was the long way of saying I don't want that in my backyard. It is really pretty to look at, but I definitely do not want that in my backyard.
Agreed.
And there was one factoid that I was trying to make sure, and I am reading it correct, is that the lake has a volume of 1.3 billion cubic feet. And they said that it's 1/320th of the volume of Oregon's Crater Lake. And when the ex and I got married, we went to the Out and About Tree Resort in Tacoma, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And you happened to fly into an airport in Medford, Oregon, and have to drive like 2 hours to get there. But on the way, or right near the airport there in Medford, was Crater Lake. So I got to see Crater Lake, and this crater is a lot smaller than that. Like, if it's only 1/320th of the size of Crater Lake, it's kind of small. So that's the other thing about it, because Crater Lake was huge. It was really cool because the water was completely blue. There's actually two islands that have grown because it's a dormant volcano, similar to this. And it's just, there's a lake on top of the crater.
Yeah.
Quite literally.
Oh, yeah. I believe
it is very descriptive. The name is very descriptive.
It's a crater with a lake in it.
Yep.
But also known as a caldera, I believe.
Yes. Yes, yeah. That is another name for it.
Yeah, I knew that.
that's something in the U.S. that, to me, that's worth a visit. Like, I think that's so so cool and so badass.
Yeah, that would be cool to see. Because I've seen pictures of it, and... It looks, I mean, the water just looks like so blue, like it's crazy.
Yeah, it kind of looks like Kool-Aid. The only other place I saw that was when you go to the island of Capri in Italy, they have the Blue Grotto, and you can go in there with a gondolier who starts singing. Of course, there's a bunch of gondoliers singing in there, but it's all echoing off the chambers underneath the island.
Interesting.
Yeah, but the water is equally blue there as it is at Crater Lake. Huh. It really has that Kool-Aid blue, like that light blue look to it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of the weather...
Uh-oh. Where are you going, Phillips? We're off-roading from this point forward, so...
Yeah, because we were talking about the weather, I think.
Sure.
Well, this is actually space weather that I wanted to talk about, Kevin.
Oh, space weather, huh?
Yeah. Apparently, well, there is, like, a Department of Space Weather, which I was... still amused to read about, but they are looking at oh, thank you, sir. They monitor the sun to see what is up there, you know, because
with the sun?
It's like, yes. It's like, I mean, what is it with the sun? So they noticed that there's this coronal mass ejection, is what they're calling it, from the sun, which I guess is like when there's magnetic fields all around the sun that kind of like keep things like held in, and they're like all kind of twisted around on each other, they say.
Okay.
And then every once in a while, they'll kind of like snap, like rubber bands almost.
Okay.
And that causes a big ejection of these radioactive particles, which they say won't be dangerous to people. But they could cause problems with like satellites and things like that while they're here. So I guess, you know, later this week, if you notice something a little crazy happening, you might want to blame it on the sun, the space weather.
Yeah, the space weather does have a lot to do with our atmosphere in general, though it tends not to be this direct.
Yeah, oh, that, okay, so the cloud tore through the sun's atmosphere at speeds, okay, so this cloud went through the sun at speeds of 8 million miles per hour. Well, that's pretty fast. That would make this a very fast-moving system and likely to reach the Earth before the weekend. All right, so we might be noticing that tomorrow, potentially. If our phones all stop working.
Now, yeah, the world will go into mass chaos when our phones stop working.
Yeah. We're all going to lose our minds. People aren't going to be able to play their games.
No games for you.
Now, there is like another kind of solar event, and I forget what it's called. But they say that one only happens like every few hundred years that we might have to worry about, and it's more of like a violent reaction, I guess, and more targeted. So like if it directly hit the Earth, like it could really like kind of fry all of our electronics.
Oh, okay.
Which. I mean, that would really be a bad thing. Because I guess they said it happened, like, back in the late 1800s was the last time something like this happened. And it's fried, like, telegraph lines. But today, it would, you know, do a lot worse. Which, you know, that's just the stuff you don't worry about. So, in case people were, like, not worrying about something, there you go.
Well, I mean, would it fry everything on Earth, even if it weren't, like, up and being used right now?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, is it like an EMP and, like, everything electrical just goes out?
Yeah, I think it would be like an EMP. But, so, like, I guess if it hit the power grids and things, that would be bad. Because, like, yeah, they said that they don't have enough, there's only, like, maybe one or two factories that make these big generators that make the power. And so, like, there's no way that they could make enough of these quick enough to, like, get them out to people, because it takes them, like, a long time to make them, too. So it's like,
well, yeah, a self-generator? Is that basically what they're building?
Like, a big dynamo, usually, you know? Something that will they can turn to make electricity. Is that what...
Oh, well, no, I'm wondering what type of device this is that creates the electricity.
Yeah.
That these people are building that takes so long. Like, it self-generates its own self, or you have to crank it?
Yeah, something has to turn it to generate the electricity.
Oh, wow. So this takes a long time, and you have to put in manual labor.
Well, usually you're like burning, you know, something, or, you know, using hydroelectric power to turn it.
Okay.
Something like that, you know.
Gotcha. You're not supposed to be using manpower to do this.
Yeah, or, you know, I guess you could have rooms and rooms, you know, football-sized rooms full of little hamsters running on wheels to generate your city's power. That would be interesting, you know?
It's
kind of like the Matrix for hamsters.
You didn't define how big of a generator this was. So it's supposed to be used for an entire city. I mean, there people own generators.
No, yeah. No.
I mean, I didn't know if it was for personal use or for a larger area of use.
Yeah, I guess I was going big picture there. Like, if the generators that make everyone's power all go out, like there would be problems.
Okay. I was a little unclear on the definition.
I mean, it might be a couple years to get everything back up and running, so that would suck there for a while. I mean, can you imagine?
It would be pretty interesting.
I guess people would have generators.
Cause what did what's the show?
Doomsday Preppers?
No, NBC has a show where they actually
Doomsday Preppers.
No, it's drama. My good sir, it's not Doomsday Preppers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's called Doomsday Preppers. Because they're prepping, right, for the Doomsday?
No, they are not prepping for the Doomsday, you smartass. Oh, man. Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that.
The Biggest Loser?
Well, we saw the beginning of it when we went to go get dinner, and it's all athletes who got fat.
Oh.
Competing in it this year.
Interesting. Also, it's like a celebrity version almost.
Yeah, it's...
it is exactly that, right?
It is exactly that.
Okay. Celebrity Biggest Loser.
Oh, yeah, because I don't think it would be listed under classics. And I thought that they canceled it.
We may never know the answer to this. You know, if anyone out there knows, maybe you were a producer on this show. You have an axe to grind against NBC.
Oh, Revolution.
Oh, Revolution. Okay.
There we go. Well...
Never mind, we figured it out.
Did you miss this? Oh, series finale. Okay, yeah, they got rid of it. So, that's fine.
Well, listen, maybe it went out and it was mutually... Everyone agreed that it was the end of the story.
Maybe they only picked it up for three... Maybe they only intended it to be 3 years, like every NBC show wants to be.
They're like three and out.
Yeah, that's really common. Three and out. They never drag anything and beat it to death when it's really, really popular. That would never happen. They'd never, you know, do spin-off shows like NCIS New Orleans. Nothing like that would ever happen on TV.
No, I agree. That would be absurd.
You know, three seasons, that's always the plan. Three seasons and we're out.
The English, on the other hand, they like to do like a one season, two season maybe, and they're done, you know? At least I've noticed that for a lot of their shows.
It is far more common actually in England to do that.
I think they're onto something there. You know? I don't know what you feel about England or maybe even the United Kingdom in general.
Well, I think there are some that you can drag out to an appropriate length. Like, I don't think they need to be as short as just a season or two.
Right.
I mean, I like to get invested in something. Like, it seems like you can still tell a long-term story over several seasons. Like, I'm completely fine, even though I love Justified, I know that it's coming into this season, and it's the last season.
Now, is this like the fifth season?
And that's what I was looking up here real quick. I think it's the fifth season.
Yeah, because I feel like the five seasons is a pretty good sweet spot there.
Right, yeah, and it says number of seasons, five. So, yeah, this is going to be the last one. Yep, it says... Oh, okay. Oh, it's season six.
Breaking news.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, no, this six is supposed to be the final one.
Okay.
I just misread. There's already been five. And,
six is coming out.
Yeah, six is coming, but it's the last one. But, I mean, I think that's still a good area to go out on. Like, it was still really good last season. It's been good the whole run. It's been really awesome. It's been on the it's underrated list for a while now. I don't think it does get as much love as some of the other stuff on FX. And I think it does deserve a little bit more. Sons of Anarchy gets a lot. I don't really watch. I don't watch it at all. So I'm not too familiar with that one, although a lot of people do seem to love it.
I started watching it, and I feel like I should have gotten into it, but for some reason there's just so much other stuff to do, it seems like.
yeah, you honestly need to pick and choose. There's some good stuff out there that you can watch. You just kind of need to search for it, and and then you still can't even watch all of it. Because it would, we'd have to have robots doing our jobs if we just wanted to watch TV all the time.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, and then the robots would be making the TV, and then we'd get tired of watching the TV, and we'd have robots that would watch the TV that the robots made for robots. And at that point, I don't know. I don't know what we'd do then. We'd be in a real pickle. Let's hope we don't get there in our lifetimes.
Yeah, that would be a real pickle, and I don't think that's going to happen within our lifetimes.
Good. You know, we were talking about English shows earlier, Kevin, and that got me thinking. I'm always thinking, Kevin. Current events-wise, over in the... merry old land of Ing, they've
I threw you off topic for a little bit, had to get back there, huh?
Yeah, they've been talking about Scotland becoming its own country.
Now I have not read up on this one either.
Now we were talking about Braveheart last week, and so
that was Scotland.
It was.
No matter how wrong the facts are, it does not change the long-standing rivalry between Scotland and England.
Yeah. I guess you kind of think of them as being, you know, together now. Although it did seem weird to me that Ireland was its own country and Scotland wasn't. Did that ever seem weird to you?
No. I always thought it was weird that Northern Ireland was part of England.
That does seem weird to me.
I don't understand how that ever happened. Like, hey, we're just going to take this little chunk right here.
I guess just from, like, English people moving to that area, I think, is kind of what made them want to keep that as part of England, you know?
Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I am not too familiar with that part of history there.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. But, you know, there's people there who weren't cool with the idea as well, so, you know.
Yeah, they obviously fought it for quite some time. And they still make a point of really pointing out the differences all the time, honestly.
Yeah,
because even again, when I went over there, I just remember them kind of mentioning that you were in Wales or you were in England or, you know, even that much. And they kind of made, you know, Scotland was always something different entirely, too.
Because they all have their own parliaments now, I think.
Oh, okay.
But there's like subordinate to, it's like, you know, a state. basically like a state congress or something.
Gotcha.
But,
that makes sense.
Yeah, but they didn't. They previously didn't. And I think Wales was the most recent one to get their own parliament.
Oh, but, okay.
Yes,
I am definitely not as familiar with British politics as you.
Yeah, I don't know. I always find it interesting. I guess my relatives, or my ancestors rather, some of them came from Wales, so I kind of follow it a little bit for that reason. But it's, you know, there is that history of enmity between Wales and, or no, Scotland and England.
Right.
And then, you know, in broader international events, I saw that the Kim Jong-un regime was in favor of Scottish independence.
I'm sure that's really going to weigh in on everything here. Now, sure, he's going to have a major vote in this event.
And they said that... they would be willing to trade natural resources for scotch. that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny.
But yeah, I don't know, the thing of, it's just interesting to me, the idea that you can vote to like break away from your country is it. I don't know, for some reason. That strikes me as odd. Like, I guess we can't do that here, we found out.
Well, you could try.
Didn't we kind of settle that, though, at some point?
Well, I don't know. Texas might still try at some point.
Oh, I think Texas says that they have a special right to, based on their state, their interpretation of the state constitution. Or at least someone in Texas thinks that. Based on their interpretation of how Texas, the terms under which Texas was brought into the Union, that they have the right to somehow secede or split themselves up into smaller other states or something like that. I don't know, but no. Yeah,
that'd be weird. All those all the big cities are kind of clustered together a little bit. I mean, granted, there's still a large amount of space in between them. They're kind of from the central east.
Yeah.
Except for a couple of those outpost towns out west.
Yeah. You've got, you know, different regions of Texas, I think, are a little different unto them themselves. But, yeah, I don't know. That's neither here nor there, I guess. We'll see. I guess the polls have gotten pretty close as far as, like...
The Pollocks.
The polls, yes. The polls are getting close to each other. They're standing very close to each other. And no one's quite sure why, but they've noticed it recently. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, well, what's the vote in the Scottish Parliament here, or the polls? Oh, right.
Well, yeah, they're putting it up to the people. So it's like they're able to, you know, vote on it, yes or no. And I guess it's like within 4 percentage points, they said. So, pretty close.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's usually a take or give away in any type of polling data.
Yeah. And I guess...
usually 4 or 5%.
They're not really sure how everything is going to work. Like, is the queen still going to be... Is the queen going to need to like appoint a governor general to, they were saying today, to administer in her name, because while she can't, whenever she's not in Scotland, because like they have those in Canada and Australia and like all these the Bahamas, I think, or
what's a governor general? I guess I did not know about this either. You are digging way deeper than I definitely ever have.
Oh yeah, well let's get into it here.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah, the governor general is kind of like is the queen's representative, and the queen is the head of state of all these places. So like the governor general would be the chief ribbon cutter for most circumstance. Because it is
no,
it's different than what we have, because our president is the head of state, but he's also the head of government. So he, like, has to run things and do, like, all the ceremonial things.
Oh, right.
So, like, their head of state is the queen, who technically, I guess, has some powers, perhaps. Like, in terms of, like, she has to, you know, there has to be some kind of royal assent to certain bills, but...
Right.
It would kind of be unthinkable for her to actually
veto anything.
Yeah, right. And I guess in Australia, Governor General did, at one point... I think he called for a re-vote in Parliament or something like that in the 70s, and it was a big ruckus, like, because they're supposed to kind of stay out of politics, but it just seems weird, like, if you're going to have that rule, why even have the office, you know? Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, what, any type of monarchy?
Yeah, like
it's silly, completely silly.
But do you think, like, you could get a lot more done as a politician or the president or whatever if you weren't, like, having to do all this other bullshit too? Like, you know,
it would probably help.
I mean, that part kind of makes sense. I mean, I guess it's like a mascot or like a, you know, flag in a way. Your team's uniforms, you know? It's, if we want to go there.
Right.
It's kind of like something everybody can just kind of get sentimental about, maybe. As long as it's not a total douche like Charles, which I don't know if they'll ever get him as king.
he is gonna have problems. Mom just does not want to die.
Yeah.
She is a stubborn old woman.
We are not dead yet.
Yeah, and he's obviously at this point no spring chicken.
No. I think he would one of the oldest monarchs to ascend the throne, if, you know, he were to become king.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So, he's kind of getting a short shrift, whatever happens to him.
Yeah, well, maybe he can just hope for good genes and he lives as long as Mom does.
Yeah, I guess so. But they said, like, if... one of the reasons that people are in favor of still having the monarchy is because Queen Elizabeth is so popular. And if they had, if they did have Charles in charge.
Oh, jeez.
Oh. I feel like I should do a victory lap for that one.
I should not have let that one slide.
Yeah, you could have seen that one coming. But, yeah, if they would have had Charles in charge, then they may not, people may want to just, like, get rid of the whole thing. Because it does cost a lot of money, I guess, you know?
Yeah, there's, they travel a lot of places. They make a lot of money for, or I think they at least make some type of, money for England, don't they? I mean, they've got to generate some type of revenue somehow, right?
Doing what exactly?
I don't know. Do any of their
appearance fees?
Yeah, appearance fees. I mean, that doesn't all go to them, does it?
I don't think they make money. I mean, I think they just do things. Like, their job is to, like, if you're, you know, you go into the military, they all have to do that.
Right.
And,
because he was, what's the young guy's name?
Harry?
No, not Harry. His brother that's married to Kate.
Oh,
William.
William, sure, yeah.
he was in the military too.
Right. Yep. So yeah, they all were. It's like a thing. So,
gotcha.
And then yeah, so they all have to do that, and then they're expected to. I don't know. It's just weird. Like, can you imagine being born into that? Like, knowing that your life is not going to be, like, private. Like, and your job, basically, is to, like, maybe one day rule the country. quote, unquote.
Yeah, it would be a little weird. You're talking way less than a 1%er there.
Yeah.
You're talking some really minuscule numbers.
0.001%, perhaps?
Yeah, I might perhaps say it's even a bit lower than that.
Yeah, I could see that. It's, I don't know. It would be weird. But,
right.
Oh, I just thought of something.
You're just cracking yourself up over there, Phillips?
Yeah, it's pretty good, but, I don't know. Sadly, it looks like we're running out of time here.
yeah, well, I will go with, the Sippy Time Beer of the Week that, was, provided by yours by you today.
Yes.
Even though I, was, showing up at your house, Left Hand Brewing Nitro Milk Stout. It was one of the earliest beers that I reviewed. It is still very excellent. And I think I reviewed it again for my birthday this year. Because I was writing reviews differently at that point. So I felt like I could brush up on a beverage that is certainly a favorite of mine.
Yeah, I don't know if I've had it before, but I quite enjoyed it. I think I might have sampled it, but it was several years ago, so.
Yeah, I really like that little bit of sweetness that that goes along with any type of milk stout. So, yeah, that brings another one to close. Opus 17, at Stunt Granny, at DeFrango 11, at Gozer 33. Ken, any final words?
No, but my dog just wanted to have a few words here, if he could. All right, everybody, have a great week.